Saparshita Gora Viraha Vivaha. Yehani no frame danda corona pragtu Jai Om Vishnupad Padamahansa Paravritikacharya Osutera Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachadanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Maharshila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Ananda Koti Vaishnavinda Kijai, Anamacharya Srila Hoidas Thakur Kijai, Ramse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govagopada Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Girigo Vridan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagadavasami Kijai, Yuvanamai Kijai, Shivanaglasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. So read the translation of this poem by Srila Nara Tamadas Thakur. You brought the treasure of divine love and it was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today is the combined disappearance day of these three great personalities, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. So Om Ganat Timananda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshurim Vinitam Yenitasmai Shigurve Namah. So first we'll speak about Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were the disciplic descendants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Goswamis of Vrindavan carried out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, as mentioned by Srinivas Acharya, Nana Shastra Vichara Nakanipano Siddharma Samstapako. They perused, for those of you who don't know English, they read very thoroughly. They read the literatures, religious literatures, not only from India, but religious literatures from all over the world, and their aim was Dharma Samstapako, to establish eternal religious principles, not just... establish religious, eternal religious principles, not just sectarian religious principles. And so in order to do that, they compiled many different literatures, like the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And, of course, Raghunath Das Goswami is famous for the Mana Shiksha, which I've been giving the seminars on. Mana Shiksha means the instructions to the mind. And in this Mana Shiksha, he first of all deals with the goal of life. The goal of life, of course, is Krishna consciousness, realizing one's spiritual identity. And then he talks about the impediments to the goal. We call these anarthas. He talks about subtle anarthas and gross anarthas. Gross anarthas are very easy to understand, and subtle anarthas are more difficult. Subtle anarthas he compares to one taking a bath in donkey urine. That is, let's say someone is pretending to be a great devotee of the Lord, like a sannyasi, and he's simply interested in profit, adoration, distinction. That means adoration from his followers. So he calls that taking a bath in donkey urine. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented very nicely, his anabhasha, in the Mana Shiksha. And there's been a very nice edition published recently. Mother Irmala has published this edition, and we request the devotees to read this because they can understand all the essential truths about devotional service. So Raghunath Das Goswami's, that's his, I would say, his primary work, the Mana Shiksha. And it's just 12 prayers or 12 instructions to the mind. And within those 12 instructions are the essence of devotional service. So as far as Raghunath Das Goswami's life, it's very interesting. Of course, it's told about extensively in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before we start talking about his pastimes in the external world, I would want to mention that in Krishna Lila, he's known as Rasa Manjari or Rati Manjari or Banumati. And so, in other words, the six Goswamis generally were Manjari Gopis. Manjari Gopis means small girls, prepubescent girls, who were engaged in assisting Radha and Krishna in very intimate, close ways. So a devotee, when he or she realizes their spiritual identity, has this internal life of assisting Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. At the same time, they're executing their external duties, acting like a sadhaka, even though they're on a higher platform of devotional service. They're internally joined with Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates in the spiritual world. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So that's why the Bhagavad Gita describes that the self-realized soul, while sitting down, lying, evacuating, doing all the bodily things with the external body, he understands that he's doing nothing. In other words, he's not doing these things or she's not doing these things. The body's just a machine. You know, you don't say that when you're driving your car down the street at 60 miles an hour or 70, whatever. You don't say that I'm running down the street. You understand the car is going down the street and I'm operating the car. So you are like Raghunath Das Goswami family. Father and uncle were Govardhan and Haranya. And it's described they had so much gold. In those days, of course, money meant gold, not bills or anything like that, which are an artificial standard. Raghunath Das at that particular time, before he took the renowned sword of life, was so detached from that wealth that he continually was thinking of leaving home and joining Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Raghunath Das Goswami, when Raghunath Das Goswami met him in Shantipur, to act like an ordinary businessman, but at the same time cultivate love of God internally. And Lord Chaitanya, there's an interesting quote here that Lord Chaitanya said, ostentatious displays of spiritual opulences is cheating religion, which ultimately results in fall down from spiritual consciousness to material enjoyment. In other words, if one, before they're actually ready to be renounced from this material world, makes a display of renunciation, and we've seen this many times, people take prematurely to the renounced order of life, then ultimately they fall down from their position. So one has to really be aware of their particular needs. So Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, was always renounced, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing the importance of advancing in spiritual life before one is able to renounce this material world. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami's pastime of renunciation came after he served Lord Nityananda. Before he served Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya advised him, just act like a lady who has a paramour. Now, what does that mean? A lady who has a paramour? Paramour doesn't mean a transcendental love. You know, paramour, like that. Paravyoma means transcendental sky, so paramour doesn't mean transcendental love. Paramour means someone who has a love being exchanged, let's say a lusting exchange, outside of the traditional marriage situation, and they're not telling their husband or wife about it. So, if one has that particular type of relationship, and I'm not giving advice to people who do have that relationship, then the person generally acts like a perfect husband or wife so as not to arouse suspicion. So a devotee should be like that too, not in regard to their husband and wife, but in regard to their internal spiritual life. They should act perfectly in this material world. As Srila Prabhupada said, when he was asked about the quality of his disciples, he said his disciples are perfect ladies and gentlemen. In other words, we act according to a culture, unless the culture, of course, is like a culture of eating meat. And like I had one of my godbrothers, he was born in a family in Germany. He described how in his culture they used to sit in the basement every Sunday and tear apart a big pig with an apple in his mouth. So that's not what you should do in terms of acting in terms of your culture in Germany. I mean, he actually did that, you see. Sometimes you see pictures of that and you think it's just like some sort of mythology, but actually it happened. So anyway, so acting according to the culture so as not to arouse suspicion and just being a perfect lady and gentleman according to that culture, just like if you're in America, you shake hands. It's not that if you come up to someone in the street, let's say you're going to Walmart to buy someone something, and you're introduced to someone, you shake their hand. It was supposed to be a devotee. You don't go, Hare Krishna. So you have to fit in with that culture. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Raghunath Das Goswami to act in that particular way in terms of his particular situation. His parents were also very concerned about his renunciation, and they arranged for him to have an extremely beautiful wife and all the money he ever needed. And it's, of course, these are the shackles of this material world. Dhanam Janam Sundarim, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or if you happen to be a lady, Sundara. You understand? Not a beautiful man, but a handsome man. So Dhanam means wealth. Jana means followers, and Sundara Sundarin means the opposite sex, who attracts one and keeps one in the material world. So, in any case, Raghunath Das Goswami was detached from all these things in spite of having so many of these opulences. So, basically, after a while, well, actually, the first thing before we talk about his renunciation, we'll describe his spiritual shelter, or the shelters that he had. His spiritual master's name was Acharya Balaram, or Balaram Acharya. And as a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balaram Acharya oftentimes was host to Haridas Thakur. So Raghunath Das Goswami got an opportunity to take the association of Haridas Thakur. And of course, this also inspired him or impelled him to renounce this material world. So after some time, Raghunath Das Goswami had the opportunity to exhibit his renunciation, but only after he was able to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So this also teaches us a very important lesson, that if one wants to become free of this material entanglement, it's necessary to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, of course, is Balaram, Balaram, Hoila Nitai, and Lord Nityananda's mercy is obtained when you share Krishna consciousness with others. Not just that you just chant Nitai, Nitai. There's actually one group that's actually like a Nityananda dedicated group, and they have a website and everything like that, and they just chant Nitai, Nitai, Nitai. And the way to attain Nitai's mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness, to get people involved in performing devotional service. So that's Lord Nityananda. So, and also to serve the Vaishnavas. And that's the lesson Raghunath Das Goswami learned in this village known as Panihati. He was able to serve all Lord Nityananda's associates by hosting this festival, the famous Chip Rice Festival, in which there was condensed milk and yogurt with chip rice, and he served all the devotees or sponsored that. And also he got Lord Nityananda's feet on his head and was able to donate to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda's mission. Also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his unmanifest form, which some of the devotees saw, to the Chip Rice Festival of Raghunath Das Goswami. So in this way, after getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then he decided to leave this world. But to leave this world was very difficult for him, because his father used to post many guards just to keep him, and just keep him at home. And every time previously he tried to escape, the guards would just drag him back over and over and over again. So this happens, you know, with families, that many families, they just really don't want their children to take shelter of Krishna because they're afraid of losing their children. Actually, they don't lose their children. The children become better servants of the parents in that way. Because what's the best way to serve the parents is to help them advance in spiritual life. I mean, the parents generally, they want the child to become a doctor or a lawyer or something prominent that makes a lot of money. Is that service to the parent? I mean, I guess to maintain the parent when they get old is actually a good idea, but or to help the parent remember Krishna at the time of leaving their body, that's actually a child's duty. However, the best way to serve one's parents is to become Krishna conscious, because when you're Krishna conscious, you can liberate so many of not only your immediate parents, but your parents' parents and parents' parents. So many generations become liberated by doing that. So that's the best service you can do for your parents. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he realized that. So eventually he got the opportunity to run away from home. And he got that opportunity due to the mercy of his spiritual master, who came to him one night, late in the night, and the spiritual master was very worried about a pujari that didn't show up for deity service at Nubaloka. Anyway, he was very not Nubaloka, but he was very worried about a pujari, one of his pujaris, and he said to Raghunath Das Goswami, "What can I do?" Raghunath Das Goswami said, "Look, I'll go and preach to this particular pujari." So instead of preaching to the pujari, of course, this was an arrangement between the guru and the disciple. It's not that he disobeyed the order of the guru. Raghunath Das Goswami, in the middle of the night, while the guards were sleeping, just slipped away. And in order to reach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he didn't take the ordinary path. Because had he taken the ordinary path, his father's guards would have caught him. So he took the path through the woods and hardly ate anything along the way. And finally he arrived in Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. And when he arrived there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see him. And for the first 5 days in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his remnants. That's pretty nectarian. And Raghunath Das Goswami saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the afternoon with Swarup Damodar Goswami. He was put under the guidance of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, he's known as the Raghu of Swarup. Swarup Damodar Goswami in Krishna Leela is Lalita. And, of course, the other associates of Lord Chaitanya, like Ramananda Roy, as Vishaka, and they were all, they're actually all gopis, except for a few of them who are situated in the Sakyaras, or the relationship of cowherd boy. So anyway, so for 5 days, he was taking prasadam that was left over by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then after 5 days, he started begging from the gate for the devotees who went to the Jagannath Puri temple. And so, of course, try to imagine the scenario that Raghunath Das Goswami is from a very rich family, never begged for anything his whole life, lived a life of opulence or was given opulence by his parents. And then he started begging. And I remember many times devotees joined the Krishna conscious movement and they went on Sankirtan and their parents happened to see them on Sankirtan. I think I heard Mother Krishna Priya, isn't it? Because she was distributing books at Lincoln Road Mall or something like that in Miami Beach. Their parents were, "My child, how can my child be out there begging?" So he, of course, he was begging at Jagannath Puri, whereas the rest of us were begging in Miami Beach. So, a little bit different than Jagannath Puri. So he was begging for prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased that he was becoming or exhibiting more renunciation. And then after some time, he stopped begging for prasad. And he just went to the kitchen, which was distributing food to the pilgrims and to those who didn't have anything. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased that he stopped begging, because when you're begging for yourself, you naturally think of certain people as being nice and other people as not being nice. In other words, here comes someone who could give me something, and oh, he's not giving me anything, he's not so nice. So you actually lose your sense of equanimity. Actually, I remember going out with one devotee in Miami Beach, and at the, not Miami Beach, we went to the airport in Miami to distribute books. And whenever he saw someone who might take a book, he says, here comes a sweetie. Not referring to a lady, of course. That means someone who could actually take a book, someone who is more favorable to Krishna consciousness. So naturally, of course, one has to distinguish who could take a book and who would not take a book. But a devotee really should be equal poised, ready to give mercy to everyone, and distinguishing how much each person can take according to their particular situation. However, devotee, as described, is Samadarshi, with Vidyavinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihastani Shuni Chaiva Swapakicha Pandita Samadarshana. That means he sees everyone equally. So he's not thinking, oh, this is a nice person, this is not a nice person, depending upon whether the person gives a donation or not. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manashiksha talks about that in terms of people who are in the Grihastha Ashram and who are making a show of devotional service and just hanging out with rich people. So that's that. You could see a lot of the lessons he learned in his time in Jagannath Puri, relating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and undergoing his renunciation, actually led to many of the lessons in the Manushiksha. You can connect those two. So anyway, so getting back to the point, he started eating from the kitchen, and then even after that, he stopped eating from the kitchen that was meant for prasad distribution, and he went to the place where they were throwing out the rice that even the cows wouldn't eat, you know, old rice. And he was picking up that rice and washing it with a little water and putting some salt, because it had to have a little taste, putting some salt on it, and that was his prasadam, the remnants of Lord Jagannath that even the cows wouldn't eat. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard that, he rushed to where Raghunath Das Goswami was, and he started to take some of those morsels, and he took one or two morsels, and Swarup Damodar Goswami forbade him from taking any more. He said, this is not fit for you. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami, why are you saving all this nice prasadam for yourself? Why are you so greedy? Because Raghunath Das Goswami actually saw the potency of prasadam. That many times, of course, in the beginning of the devotional service, we want to, let's say we're interested in the taste, the external taste of prasadam, but then after one makes some advancement, then one is happy thinking that it's very nice to take mahaprasadam that's not a sweet ball. You know, when I remember many times devotees would ask for mahaprasadam and I'd give them the vegetable, and they said, no, I want mahaprasadam. But mahaprasadam means the food that is offered directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the altar. And mahaprasadam means prasadam that is offered to Krishna and then taken by Krishna's great devotees, the remnants of Krishna's great devotees. It's like when I was a young devotee, I would receive Srila Prabhupada and just eat everything that he left on his plate, including the grape stems and the orange peels, and I would have eaten the plate itself had it not been metal. So, of course, this is very powerful. This is a very, very powerful substance. So Raghunath Das Goswami exhibited this extreme renunciation, and he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the whole period of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes until the end of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended his pastimes, Raghunath Das Goswami, or of course before Lord Chaitanya ended his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya gave Raghunath Das Goswami this Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala. And the Govardhan Shila is a stone from Govardhan which is non-different from Giriraj, not different from Krishna. And the devotees worship the Govardhan Shilas as Krishna, and also as the servant of Krishna, and the Gunjamalas indicate or are representative of Srimati Radharani. So he gave him shelter at Govardhan and the shelter of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet by giving him these two items. So, and shelter at Radhakund. So after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami was feeling so much intense separation that he decided to go to Vrindavan and end his life, because he couldn't bear to live without Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is actually devotion. I mentioned in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that when the spiritual master leaves the planet, one should be ready to leave this world if one is not ready to carry out the mission of the spiritual master. So Raghunath Das Goswami was just feeling, I cannot live without Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, he had more association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than anyone else. And so he saw more of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's later pastimes than anyone else saw. So eventually he goes to Vrindavan, and then he becomes determined to leave his body, some people say by jumping from Govardhan Hill. But he is dissuaded from doing so by the other Goswamis of Vrindavan with the plea that they want to hear about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He knew so much. So, therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami every day would recite for an hour, two, or three about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Jagannath Puri, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And also hearing these recitations was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're actually reading, let's say, the compilation of Raghunath Das Goswami's recitations about Lord Chaitanya. It's interesting, isn't it? We're actually connecting with Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Krishna Kaviraj Das Goswami never was with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. So all of his information was, let's say, second-hand. You can't say really second-hand. It's direct realization. But that came about by the mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami resided at Radhakund. At Shamakund. Wouldn't be proper to say Radhakund. It would be proper to say Shamakund. So Radhakund and Shamakund, of course, are the two lakes which represent Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Krishna is always manifest in Shamakund, and Radharani is always manifest in Radhakund. And Radhakund is as dear to Krishna, according to the Upadeshamrita, as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani is. So he resided at the Manasa Pavana Ghat. So the Manasa Pavana Ghat is a very interesting, Ghat means, of course, a bathing place on the banks of the Kund or the lake. So this Ghat is the place where the gopis would go swimming. I know, it's very interesting that most of the devotees pay more attention to Radhakund than Shamakund, but the gopis pay more attention to Shamakund than Radhakund, isn't it? Interesting. Because the gopis, they want to bathe in Krishna, or Shamakund, and Krishna wants to bathe. Krishna pays more attention to Radhakund. Anyway, so the Manasa Pavana Ghat is a very interesting place where the gopis would bathe regularly, and as they would bathe, they would put their clothes on the top of this pilu tree. It's an ancient tree that's still existing today. And this pilu tree is considered to be a manifestation of a Brahmin from Varanasi. This Brahmin, he was a great devotee of Krishna, so he took birth actually many, many years before Krishna appeared at the Manasa Pavana Ghat, and took birth as a tree, and he was fully conscious. And the gopis were actually putting their clothes on top of this tree and bathing in the Shamakund, and this tree was able to communicate with the devotees, especially with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who had his Bhajan Kutir right by the banks of the Shamakund. So Raghunath Das Goswami, in the same place that Raghunath Das Goswami lived, there was a Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami lived just a few feet away, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur later on, this was centuries later, had his Bhajan Kutir. But Raghunath Das Goswami, while he was residing at Radhakund, did not want to build Bhajan Kutir. He was very much averse to accepting any opulence because he understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to exhibit the topmost renunciation, actually more than the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, because he was showing that by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, even someone who is extremely wealthy can be happy serving Krishna in a what we would consider to be a poverty-stricken condition. Now, if one artificially does that, let's say if you take a wealth away from, let's say there's some politician running for office, you know, in the United States, if you took all of his wealth away and just send him out to sell Prabhupada's books, they're hard to imagine Donald Trump selling Prabhupada's books. But anyway, if you send him out on Sankirtan, he would be miserable, unless he became a devotee. You know, he had to beg, you know, just he would die. He would die, wouldn't he? So in the same way, anybody who's in an extremely wealthy position, you take things away from them, just like, it's misery. It's like before I joined the movement, you know, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be misery, sleeping on the floor and, you know, doing everything, all the austerities we did in the old days. Nowadays, devotees don't do austerities so much. We used to take a bath with freezing cold water, no heat. I mean, now if it gets below 68, everybody's complaining in the temple. But we used to didn't die. What's that? So, the me book. So anyway, so Raghunath Das Goswami showed that he was happy. You're living in such, without even a kutir, without even a place of residence. He was staying staying outside for over him. So the outside men, there were wild animals there in the old days. There were tigers who used to come to Radhakund to drink from Radhakund. Banks of Radhakund, completely oblivious, you know, to the Hiran Goswami came, and he saw one day one thing, and sitting the banks of Radhakund or Shamakund and chanting, and there were tigers around. And who was standing there protecting Raghunath Das Goswami from the tigers but Krishna himself with a stick? When Sanatana Goswami saw this, he told Raghunath Das Goswami, this is ridiculous. You can't take shelter from Krishna, take service from Krishna. You're supposed to serve Krishna. Build yourself up. Krishna will protect me. But then a few days later, Sanatana Goswami saw that Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting in the hot sun. And in Govardhan and Radhakund area, it gets extremely hot. We're talking about 120, 130 degrees during the summer. It's like an oven. You know, I spent the summer at Govardhan sometimes, and you can't walk out after 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like a blast furnace. So he was sitting out in a blast furnace, basically, and Sanatana Goswami saw that sun. So when Sanatana Goswami saw this, he really chastised Raghunath Das Goswami. You've got to build a kutir. So Raghunath Das Goswami, the size of that room in which we keep all the computer equipment and everything, narrower than that. And then he stayed there, chanting the Lord's holy name. So also Raghunath Das Goswami was responsible for excavating Radhakund and Shamakund because they were just two paddy fields before. I mean, in other words, just two ponds in a rice paddy. A rice field. So he was responsible and to take his money and donate it to Raghunath Das Goswami to excavate Radhakund and Shamakund. So he came and did that. But Raghunath Das Goswami, in spite of being given that money and the prestige of being excavating it, he never did anything in his own name. It's interesting that that the deed of Radhakund and Shamakund is in the name of Jiva Goswami. Not the name of Raghunath Das Goswami, because he was so careful and I'm paraphrasing right now, that you have to be very careful about infecting that same disease again. In other words, he never really was diseased, but externally it appeared that he was a, you know, he was engaged in a family that's pound, shilling, and pence in the life of writing. I don't know if any of you understand what that means, but that's an American expression, like living, you know, high there. And he wanted to show that one should be very, very careful about not getting attracted to this material world again, especially if one renounces. Of course, he got the instructions from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he should always be humble and not think of sense gratification, even in dreams, and take shelter of Krishna in this way. This is instruction given by Swarup Damodar Goswami, too, to Raghunath Das Goswami, to always think of Krishna.